Peace be with all of you. When we see how Jesus was flogged and in the process of his crucifixion, we saw three kinds of people who had a hand in all this. And we see how the three kinds of people, they are utterly evil. First, we saw the Roman soldiers, their brutality. And second, we saw Pilate and how coward he is, and he went against his conscience. And third, we saw the chief priests, their evil. So all these three kinds of people, they are involved in bringing harm to Jesus. And some people ask, which of them they had the deeper severity of their crime? So first, we look at the Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers, they are well known to be brutal. So when the Roman soldiers are being called into the army, they are chosen from the lowliest of the people in the land. And so they have led very difficult lives. And so they've been through helplessness and poverty and certain difficult predicaments. And so such people, they were called into the army to be given the honor of a soldier. And so when they were trained to be unfeeling, inhuman. So if anyone, they were to withdraw from the battle, such soldier would be stoned to death. And so that's how the Romans built a strong army. And that's how they can rule over the world. And so the Roman soldiers were trained to destroy a city with a kind of brutality, and they will absolutely not show any mercy to their enemies. And so when they conquer a city, they not just kill all the enemies and rape the women, even the children, the animals, they will all kill those women, animals, children. So that's how the Roman soldiers were brutal in their ways. And as these Roman soldiers were trained, they were trained to be totally loyal to Caesar. And they were totally compliant to the orders of the higher authority. Now Jesus, he went through trial, he was flogged, and he was being hung on the cross. And all these were done through the hands of the Roman soldiers. So, but as we keep seeing, what the Roman soldiers have done are ordered by Pilate, because they took the order from Pilate, their governor. And so they flogged Jesus harshly and then crucified Jesus. And so when you look at all these things, you ask, who has a worse sin than Roman soldiers? And that is the one who used his authority to order the Roman soldiers to do this. And he is none other than Pilate. And he has a greater sin than the Roman soldiers. Now, in the Second World War, is the sin of the German troops worse or Hitler worse? Of course, you will say it's Hitler, because Hitler's, under the command and order of Hitler, the German troops did what they did. And so every time during the Apostle Creed, we recite that, you know, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Because as soldiers, you know that they have to take the order from their authorities. But of course, we cannot say that the Roman soldiers were innocent. They have the guilt of harming Jesus, but the one who gave the order, he had a greater sin. Because with his authority, he ordered people to sin, and so he had a higher sin. So what's the most difficult professions in the world is as a judge, president, prime minister, do not think of getting to that position unless God calls you to those positions, because you have to judge the life and death of people. The policies that you design will affect millions and thousands of people. So you have such great authority. So if you use your authority to gain interest for yourself and in your judgment, if you have selfish desires and you harm the innocent, then you will bring guilt upon yourself. So we need to be very careful. We humans, we yearn to be on high positions, and we thought that maybe a small mistake is okay, but you realize that the higher positions you gain, the more you cannot make any mistake. Now, the commoners, they always make mistakes. It's as if it's all right. But the higher position you have, one mistake of yours will affect many people below you. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we must know that the Bible gave us wisdom for us to ponder, especially we humans with authority. We know very well in our heart that some things are not like that. Some people are innocent. But because of your selfish interests, you bring harm to innocent people. This will make you guilty before God. So Pilate, for many times in his heart, he's very clear that Jesus is sinless. But eventually, in order to please the crowd, he succumbed to the pressure given by the crowd. And so he went against his conscience. And so today you saw that. Now, whose sin is worse than Pilate? And it is those who handed Jesus over to Pilate. And that is chief priest Caiaphas. They have a greater sin. Now, so the chief priests, they have this spiritual enmity against Jesus, and when they saw how Jesus was flogged and injured so terribly, they were not just appeased, but they hated Jesus all the more. Now, if you see certain people being punished, maybe you really hate them, but once you saw that they are punished, you may be appeased in your heart. But this chief priest, they saw how Jesus was flogged, and he is half alive, and then they got angrier, and they only wanted to crucify him and wanted to humiliate him, and eventually then they can fully be appeased. So it's not just an emotional or political enmity. Some people say there's no forever enemies, but you must know that for spiritual enemies there is this forever enmity. Because they belong to different kingdom. One belong to the kingdom of light. One belong to the kingdom of darkness. So they have different masters. So you have to understand. When we live in the world, the world and the saints, they have spiritual enmity. So we cannot compromise with the world. Because we keep preaching the gospel that the world cannot understand, and the gospel, we keep preaching the gospel that the world cannot understand, and the gospel that the world detests. We have to keep preaching, because not because we hate the world, but because the path of the world and the belief of the world is totally different from our faith and our belief. So, the chief priests and the religious leaders. Now, the religion and the gospel are always in enmity. Now, all men are sinners, but you must understand that there's different degrees of evil. So, in today's passage, you will see how the chief priests instigate the whole people of all the Jews to crucify Jesus. In other Gospels, we read that the chief priests instigated the Jews and said that, let the blood of this person fall be counted upon us, against us, or fall upon us and our descendants. And had this sentence been fulfilled, yes, it was fulfilled. In AD 70, Roman Emperor destroyed Jerusalem and Israel. And so they struck off Israel from the map of the world. For 1,900 years, you cannot see the nation of Israel. And so people will think that this is a nation which is under curse because the people, the Jews, are being scattered. So when people scold people, they will just say, "You Jews." And that means that, you know, the Jews are the worst of all. Because the chief priest mentioned that, "Let this blood of the innocent men fall on us and our descendants." So there's indeed the spiritual enmity. And so Jesus suffered under these three kind of persons. And why did he allow himself to suffer? He went through this suffering to substitute our sin. This should be the punishment and humiliation that we should have gone through, but it has all been added to Jesus. So his righteousness is imputed to us, and our evil is being laid on him, so that our lives can be saved, not because we are kind or have done well or have any merits. For all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God used the sinless one to substitute us sinners, so that those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So this is substitutionary atonement. And so this penal substitution is very important theology in Christianity. Now let's look at today's verses. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. He's being flogged by the Roman soldiers. So the Roman scourging and flogging is no joke. The whip that they are using is not just ordinary whip. So on the whip, when the whip was being laid on human flesh, on the whip there are the bones of the animals, and so when the whip went down to the flesh will open up, and the flesh will be torn apart. So some people being scourged by the Roman soldiers, they will just faint, and so some they couldn't withstand it, and so they just died from scourging. So Roman scourging is no joke. So the flesh will totally be torn with every whip. So before Jesus Christ went up to the cross, he went through the wounds of the scourging. Now Isaiah told us that by his wounds we are healed. Is this the truth? It is certainly the truth. So no matter how crippled we are, or whether we have any illness, no matter how ill we are mentally or physically, the Bible tells us that because Jesus has been wounded, and so one day we'll all be healed. Amen? And when will that be? That is when we see the Lord. All illnesses, all weaknesses will depart from us when we see the Lord. And we will have the new body that will never perish or corrupt. So now when you are sick, do not be discouraged. Because we know that when our body is failing, it's hard for us. And sometimes we feel discouraged because we are painful. We have difficulty breathing. We cannot digest well. So it's very hard for us to even walk sometimes if we are ill. So every time when you are in sickness, you must remember, by His wounds we are healed. And so in this process, you must remember that in your bodily pains, you look to the Lord, you continue to do the work of God, you continue to intercede for all people, and this is all the more precious in the eyes of God. And what is more important, you know that all this will end one day completely. Your heart, your mind, your soul will totally be renewed. May the Lord give us comfort and bless us and appease us and comfort those of us who are ill. For I tend to receive messages from people who are ill asking for my prayers. Sometimes when I myself also feel sick, or my own family members, the children, or sometimes they will tell me their loved ones, they are undergoing some surgeries or physical pain. So those of you who have been through such process, you will know. If you have been very healthy, when you see that people are sick, you just feel, what's the big deal? Just get up and walk. They won't understand too much. But 20 and 30 years later, then you will know. Last week, many people wrote to me, how's your throat? Do you want to see, eat this or drink that or consult any doctors? I'm very thankful to all of you. Because you know that when we want to serve the Lord, if there's something wrong with our body, we need 10 times the efforts to serve. So we need to intercede for one another. So when you see how the elders, the pastors, they serve, you need to pray for all of us. And some people, they say, Pilate ordered the flogging of people in order to appease people, because he knew very well that Jesus was not guilty of anything, but yet he did that to please the crowd. So Pilate's sin was not due to his ignorance. But the Bible tells us that no one is totally ignorant. Some people, relatively, they may not be so much aware of their sin. But Pilate, he knew very well that this man is innocent. No one of the charge that he's suffering that he is going through is what he deserved. And so the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him in a purple robe. So purple represents the color of kings. It's a royal color. And went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him in the face. So here we saw and we see the rudeness and brutality of the Roman soldiers. So they insulted Jesus with their words and actions, because Jesus became the symbol of sin. He became the substitute for sin. In fact, all sinners should have gone through such punishment and insult. And today we didn't go through this. Why? Because there is this Jesus who substituted us and went through all this. So when Christians, we talk about penal substitution and substitutionary atonement, this refers to Jesus bearing the punishment on our behalf so that we don't have to go through what we deserve. So as we read word by word that describe how Jesus suffered for us, then we know how deep our sin, how severe our sins are. Especially when our Lord Jesus, before he went to the cross, he went through suffering and humiliation, and then he was being led to be crucified. We need to read carefully. If you read carefully the Bible, if you study the Bible, if you think about it, the entire torture that Jesus went through physically and mentally, then I believe that your faith will not be like the prosperity gospel. You know, I believe in Jesus, I'll have wealth and health. No, you will not have that kind of mindset. Those people, they have never read the Bible properly. They didn't read the Bible with in spirit and in truth. And they have never understood Jesus' suffering. If you truly read Jesus, if you truly read the book of John, especially chapter 19, how Jesus was being betrayed and how he was being tortured, and in the process, your sin is there. Your sin led to every whip that he had to go through. And from there, you know that after you believe in Christ, you die and suffer together with him. And then after that, you live with him. How can it be only Jesus suffered and now I only enjoy my life and just proclaim a lot of promises? Instead, you will work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And in the process of following him, you will take up your cross to follow him. You will discipline your body. And what the Roman soldiers did to Jesus, when you look at it, after you're born again in Christ, you know how you should treat people beside you. You will be the opposite of brutality. You will show your kindness, your self-giving ways to people around you. How can your temperament, after believing in Christ, how can you have no change? How can you just every day declare that no, Jesus have suffered for you? You also have your own cross. No, the Lord had his own path and you have your path. But you know that you are living in the world which is enemy with you. The flesh and the old self is in enmity with you. And they are warring against you every day. So those who have clearly read the four Gospels, they will not bring out a wrong theology. Because all those are the insinuations of the devil. Modern churches, when they preach a lot about prosperity gospel, this actually arose because very affluent nations, they have created their own gospel. Actually, the Bible never changes whether you are poor or rich. Jesus' suffering is for sinners like you and me. When there is sin, there is suffering. So today, if we acknowledge this, then our faith is the real faith. Let's continue reading verse 4. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." So strangely, you cannot find any charge against him. Why do you still ask the soldiers to flog him? So we know that Pilate totally wants to seek the favor of men. And so verse 5, Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." So he's totally being humiliated, Jesus, covered with blood and injuries and wounds. And so Jesus said, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted. Now, notice the Bible didn't mention the crowds. Maybe the crowds, when they saw Jesus, maybe they have mercy on Jesus. But their evil intention to harm Jesus actually came from the chief priests. So the chief priests and their officials, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." Now he's already so humiliated and so wounded after the flogging. And this Jesus was now standing before them. By right, whatever hatred they have, they should be appeased. But yet, that's not the case for the chief priest. So they really want to put Jesus to death. And so this is not Pilate. It's not the commoners, but religious leaders. So the gospel, so the enemy of the gospel is religion. Let me say again. The enemy of the gospel is religions. So you say, thankfully I didn't worship religions, I worship God. But some people, they come to church to worship religion because you treat Jesus as the means for you to get rich or be prosperous, and that is a form of idol and religion. So Christians come to church to create religions, and that's why all kinds of sufferings come upon Christians. And so you say, do we followers of Christ have no sufferings? Yes, there will be, but you know that the sufferings are meant to refine us who are following God piously. These sufferings are to make us stronger and sanctify us. But those who come to church for religion, the moment sufferings struck, they will leave the church or they will invent another kind of gospel, a false kind of word. So they hold on to the horn of God's throne and then pray and pray, but they didn't pray by the will of God, but by their own will. So religions all stemmed from human will. So those who are into religion, first, that's because they didn't read the Bible. Second, after reading the Bible, they distort the Bible and they explain and interpret the Bible according to their own will to fit their own human needs. And that is religion. Because religion just ignore God and they just focus on humans. And this holy God, people treat Him as someone fitting to their own heart, and they invent and they imagine the religion and they convince everyone. So now these chief priests, they have read the Old Testament and they have read about the prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah who will come to suffer for you. They all knew all these verses, but the one who truly came from God, they flogged Him and crucified Him. So this is unreasonable. Now sometimes you will say that if I belong to the people of the times, I will not do that. Now, before the throne of God, people will always claim that if I live in the times of Israel, I will worship God and not worship Baal. But look at what the modern Christians are worshipping. They are worshipping money, materialism, the same thing. So when we see this, we will know. You asked. Now these religious leaders, usually such hatred toward Jesus, this pure hatred, all this pure hatred usually is got to do with jealousy and pride. So these are the two serious sins, and these are the two sins committed by Satan. The first murder in human history, Cain killed Abel. That arose because of pride and hatred. Now, why did the chief priest want Jesus to die? Because of pride and jealousy. Both pride and jealousy, they share the same root. So when you see someone else better than you, you just get jealous. So for your whole life, you need to put these two things to death. Yesterday you put them to death, today you must keep putting them to death. I've been through half my life in my many years of shepherding. I know certain sins are very hard to shake off for their whole lifetime. If a person is young, if a person is proud when he is young, or jealous of people when he's young, even when he grows old, he's still prideful and jealous. When you already have good stuff, but when you see that others are better than you, you feel strange in your heart. You know, what is that sin? And you cannot help it. And you envy people, you're not satisfied with yourself. In fact, you have a very good life, but when you see how people enjoy more, then you start to think, why my life is as such? So it's all things of our life. So in Christ, we need to learn humility. You need to be happy for others. When you see, you know, other people, their family members, they came to the Lord, you do not ask why your own family members have not been saved yet. You give thanks for the other family's family members' salvation. Sometimes we didn't let the truth to shine into our hearts and we just read like this. In fact, before God, we have a lot of sins which we need to be cleansed. If you don't cleanse yourself, when something happened, the sin will be exposed, or when things didn't happen, the root of the sin just grow deeper, the jealousies get worse. In fact, you started with jealousy over one issue, then you get jealous over 10 things. So the root of the sin will continue to grow. Of course, in Christ, you'll be cleansed, but you have to lead victorious and holy life, so you need to put to death the evil deeds of your flesh. So you need to know how to cleanse yourself. Verse 6. So Pilate just say that, you know, you just take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. So Pilate mentioned 5 times that he couldn't find a charge against Jesus. So, verse 7, the Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." Now, the Jews all knew that if you claim yourself to be the Son of God, that means you are equal with God. So, Jews all know this. So, up to today, the Jews did not or do not acknowledge that the Jesus whom they crucified is the Messiah. They are still waiting for the first coming of the Messiah. We are waiting for the second coming. But the Jews are still waiting for the first coming of the Messiah. And the Jesus who had been crucified, they just think that he is a cursed one being hung on the tree. So most Jews today still had that belief. But we knew that the day of the repentance of the Jews is the coming of the is the second coming of the Lord. So we need to pray for this nation of Israel. In verse 8, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. So he said, "This is the Son of God." When he heard this, he's not angry. He didn't think that it's a joke, but he became more afraid, because as he was judging Jesus, he already lacked peace because he was against his conscience. But now he heard this information. Now, people tend to have this religious mindset. In Rome, there's also a lot of religion, you know, how deities became humans. And so when Pilate flogged Jesus, he saw how Jesus was quiet, and he didn't plead for mercy. And so Pilate knew that this person is not ordinary mortal. So at least Pilate understood certain things. He could see certain things. So maybe he could be wondering, is Jesus really God? And the verse 9, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Because it is not necessary to answer him. But more importantly, Jesus didn't defend himself, because now he's undergoing trial and suffering on behalf of his people. Isaiah told us that he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, because he's bearing the judgment on behalf of his people. And in verse 10, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" So Pilate is trying to show off his authority. But here we understand the two things about human authority. Now Pilate's authority come from God. Romans chapter 13 told us that no authority comes unless it is what God established. So whether it's a president or judge or king, all these powers are established by God in order to fulfill the will that God has determined. But all these people, they are not perfect. They will have mistakes. But in their errors and mistakes, there is still the sovereignty of God. It doesn't mean that if the person make a wrong judgment, certain things happen, then God's will cannot be fulfilled. That's not the case. So that's the first thing we need to understand. Behind everything, there is God. Even behind injustice, there is also God's intervention and work. Second, when God gives men authority, each of us, more or less, we have certain authority, but we must remember that God gave us authority to do good, but God doesn't give us authority to do evil. When we abuse our authority to do evil, we will have deeper sins. So, the one who handed Jesus over to Roman soldiers, he had a greater sin, and he is Pilate. Now we need to ask, who has a greater sin than Pilate? Verse 11, if this authority is not given you from above, then you have no authority. So, the person who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. So when you read commentaries, there's two interpretations. Some people say Judas was the one to hand Jesus over to the authorities. So we know that Judas is under great curse because he's nearer and closest to Jesus, yet he did not believe Jesus, and he's being used as a tool to betray Jesus. So such a person, judgment immediately come upon him. So he hanged himself the second day after Jesus undergo trial. He didn't repent, but he felt guilty. And so he committed suicide, and after that he faced eternal condemnation. So no one will name their child Judas because that's a cursed name. A second, the one who handed Jesus over to Pilate more likely refers to the chief priest Caiaphas and the group of chief priests who handed Jesus over to Pilate. They not just handed Jesus over to Pilate, but they also instigate all Jews to oppose Jesus, and that brought about the destruction of Israel, the Jewish nation. Now, Roman soldiers are guilty of flogging Jesus, and the one who ordered the soldiers to flog the innocent people. So the one who handed Jesus over to Pilate is guilty of a greater sin. So the one who instigate people to crucify Jesus, they have the greater sin. So all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you realize that even punishment, it comes in differing levels. Now, since those without their sins forgiven, they will all go to hell. But yet, I also believe that in hell, there's different severity of suffering. Because God says that such a person's sin is greater. Now, verse 12, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting. So he wanted to set Jesus free.
From this place, if you have the Bible,
So if you go to Matthew chapter 27, actually Pilate's wife sent him a word, you know, do not interfere in this man's affair because he's an innocent person. So Pilate's wife told him that because of this person, I've been tortured in my dreams. She didn't share her dreams, but such information reached the ears of Pilate. So what I want to say is, Pilate was very clear. And so from here we knew that sometimes when we want to do evil or go against our conscience, the people whom we love, they may suddenly go through certain suffering. And sometimes God also used that to tell us certain things, to stop. Do not do the evil that you wanted to do. So sometimes we really need to be very watchful because we need to think through every word in the Bible. So Pilate, God has already shown him many times, and even Pilate's wife was also tortured in her nightmares and to send a signal to Pilate. But why was it that this matter didn't end here? Because the people said something that made Pilate worried a lot. So verse 12, so from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews shouted, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar." And anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. So you must understand that Pilate can come to his position because he married the granddaughter of Caesar. So if this sentencing of Jesus threatened his relationship with Caesar, then he would be very worried. So the Jewish leaders knew what Pilate cared about because the idol of Pilate is Caesar. So human weakness is related to the idol in his heart. Why did the person always stumble in that area? Because in that area, that is your idol. If you always stumble in money, then money is your idol. Every time when your children have problems, then you are troubled. Or some people, when they're affected by work, they stop coming to church. Then you know that particular thing is your idol. Why Pilate will compromise? Not just once, but five times. Even his wife got nightmares. But the moment he heard the name Caesar, so reportedly, how did this Pilate die? Under the next Roman emperor, he was sentenced to death by the next Roman emperor. Some people mentioned that he was beheaded. Some people said that the emperor commanded him to take his own life. And then his wife, on the same day, the wife died on the same day as him. So what he worshipped, eventually, he died under the authority of the kingship which he worshipped. So history makes us learn many things. And here, Pilate heard this. He brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge seat at a place known as the stone pavement. Caesar, anyone? So it's like a high place where people sit to judge the people. So it seems as if Pilate is judging Jesus, but he is actually the one to be judged by God. And so throughout history, he received a bad name for doing what he did. So now he's going to crucify the only sinless man in history. And so verse 14, it was the day of preparation of Passover week. Now this, about the 6th hour, So this 6 hour refers to the noon of Jews. But if you use the timing of the Romans, it is like 6 a.m. in the morning. So what time Jesus was crucified is 9 a.m. And 6 hours, so about 3 p.m. And then he breathed his last. So from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., the skies were darkened and there's no, I cannot see sunlight. These are recorded in the Bible. And then verse 15. Verse 14, Pilate said, "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. So it's so absurd. Their hatred toward Jesus made them say such things. So they can even recognize this Gentile king as their king. So from here we know, some people, if people do not treat God as God, they will treat man as God. Some people, they say, "I don't believe in your God, your only God." So when people do not believe there is God, you thought that they became atheists, but no. They will go and worship religion, they will worship heroes as God, or some are more absurd, they worship the animals, or some people they worship money or men or women. In fact, humans, we have this religious instinct, we want to seek God. Now, after Adam's sin, he had this fear, he wanted to be liberated. He himself is helpless. So no matter how they seek, they will find people better than them, higher than them, whether it's higher heavens or things on earth, whether there's anything or God to help them. So a lot of people say they are atheists or without God. To a certain extent, that is not true. So humans do not acknowledge God as God, then they will surely treat men or created things as God. In verse 16, finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. You can say that Pilate, he is a person of compromise or whatever, but in one sentence, we can describe Pilate to be someone who disobeyed his conscience for personal gain. So the whole scripture today is negative, but I need to highlight that not everyone is as brutal as Roman soldiers, and not everyone is like the chief priests who are so evil. But I realize most people, they are like Pilate. So in the account of Jesus undergoing sentence, Pilate was mentioned the most. Because Pilate, not just once, but 5 times, he knew that Jesus was guiltless and he struggled and he was under the pressure of the crowd. And other Gospels describe how he washed hands and said that this sin is not on me. But the Apostle Creed mentioned that Jesus suffered under the hands of Pontius Pilate. Now, many people, they were like Pilate. They were so timid and cowardly, and they just succumbed to the pressure of the masses. And because of a higher and more important gain, like Caesar, he don't want the relationship to suffer, and he couldn't lose that relationship. And so he didn't obey the will of God that he should have obeyed. And so he compromised. And so he handed himself over to temptation. Now, most people are like Pilate. And if you are someone with authority, then you have a greater sin. So I want to conclude 3 things. from this scripture. First, you need to use your authority correctly. When God gives you your authority, you only have the authority to do right but not evil. So as parents, you have the parental authority. As boss, you have the boss authority of the boss. If you are politicians, you have certain position and power. You must remember that the authority comes from God. You must be responsible for that authority. And second, we humans, we all have mistakes. But sometimes, in order to protect us, God do not just one time or two times. God, over multiple times, He will remind us that what you are doing is wrong, and you must listen to the Lord in your heart. And especially in things that are very important to your life. Because how you decide may affect the life and death of another person. Sometimes in our life, God only gives us a few such opportunities. If you make the right decision, the person will be grateful to you forever. And God will remember you. But sometimes for our personal gains, we just shut our eyes. When we come before God, we have to be responsible for that. So do not commit the sin of going against your conscience. And third, so whatever the Roman soldiers, Pilate, and what they have done to Jesus is extremely evil. But we have been born again in Christ, and we receive new grace in Christ. So we have to do the opposite. We cannot be as brutal as the soldiers, but we need to display the kindness in Christ and not the cowardly spirit of Pilate, but we must be able to defend the truth boldly. Every time when I read about Pilate, I will remind myself, how many times can I preach in my life? How many families can I influence? Please help me, God, not to go against the Lord in my heart. So help me not to seek the favor of men. So now there is this cancel culture and LGBTQ, etc. So in our hearts, we know certain things are wrong, but we are not willing to pray for others because we are afraid of offending people. Now, this is a culture of our modern world. Of course, we do not want to offend people, but we have the responsibility to preach and share the truth clearly. And also the greatest evil of the chief priests, the evil sins brought about by pride and jealousy. For our whole life, we have to learn to look to God, to give up ourselves for others, and to seek the benefit of others in our living. And when we do this, then we are blessed in Christ. Now, and Christ not just atone for our sin on the cross, but the kind of life that Christ imparted also come upon our life. And so through your life, you can manifest the life of Christ. May such grace come upon each and every one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you because today you use your own suffering of undergoing trial to give us important lessons. Lord, we sometimes when we read and see such a negative scene, we humans, we are easily focused on why such injustice. But we have to realize that in fact, we humans are born to this world with sin. And within us, there is just evil. And when we live in our life, we have a lot of evil thoughts. We want to do good, but we desire to do good, but we cannot do it. But today, when we once again read this scene, may the great light of the gospel shine on us once again, and your blood cleanse our conscience, such that after hearing the word, we understood it, we will carry it out. And help us be careful in our life. Although we are already saved and blessed before you, but we humans, we have the responsibility. When we live on earth, we are responsible toward people around us. And we have to be responsible for our own decisions. So please help each and every one of us that for our whole life we can live before you with a clear conscience and we can live out the virtues of Christ to bless people around us. Now we thank you. May you receive all glory. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.